welcome back to Giants Press Conference Live. I'm Paul Dottino, along with Roman Oben. You just heard moments ago from head coach Tom Coughlin, who's rather chipper this morning.
Well, Tom's a leader, and he's obviously going to go into that press conference every week with a mindset to communicate. But every week is different. So after a win, we've seen him kind of down. After a loss, we've seen him positive. So it doesn't matter.
Okay, Roman, it's time for our GEICO 15-second update. And just remember that GEICO advises you in 15 seconds you can save 15% or more on your car insurance. Visit GEICO.com. Now, center Jim Cordell was placed on injured reserve with a knee injury yesterday. That means the Giants will have to reconfigure their offensive line for the sixth time this season on Sunday, Roman.
Yeah, Paul, and this is the 10th IR on the team, but third offensive lineman, more importantly. And that's why you keep 9 guys, because you need guys that are versatile. Some of these backups are going to eventually have to play. It's not 5 starters and 4 guys you hope don't get on the field, but Kevin Booth moves to center, and obviously
James Brewer
is going to go at left guard, which Tom said he actually did an admirable job on Sunday against the Cowboys.
Okay, now, in referring to Tom Coughlin's attitude moments ago, we saw the locker room on Monday, at least some of us were able to, and it wasn't a very spirited locker room. Well, this is Wednesday. Are the guys up for it now?
Well, you have to be, and you have to be a professional, and you've got to take it one game at a time, and things may or may not work on Sundays, but obviously there's always another game. And look, it's a 5-game season, and it starts with preparation for a divisional opponent in Washington.
Okay, let's get a look at the injury report. And there are a couple of names on here that we're very interested in, Roman.
Yeah, I mean, you look at this injury report, I think one guy, Tremaine McBride, with that groin, we know when he went down, it created a little bit of a flux in the secondary. Antrell Rowe had to play slot, and there were some mismatches there. But I think Coach Coughlin said that Hakeem Nicks is going to try to go today with that abdomen. He was a guy, I think, that was desperately missed on Sunday with that quarterback-receiver relationship with Eli Manning.
The good news is Tom Coughlin said he believes Nicks is going to try to practice today. This is a guy who is still yet to have a touchdown catch this season, but has averaged 15 yards a reception.
Yeah, and when Nicks is hot and when he's on and he's catching the ball, I mean, he's as good as anybody in the league. But this hasn't been a season I think Hakeem Nicks would be proud of, but I think he's worked hard every week. He wants to be out there. He wants to contribute to this team. I think he's had as bad luck as anybody on this football team this year.
Roman, great job by the running game last weekend. The Giants ran for over 200 yards between Andre Brown and Brandon Jacobs. It's the first time they've eclipsed that number since 2010 when they played the Minnesota Vikings.
Yeah, and as an offensive lineman, you love to see those runs just working. And you started seeing it a few weeks ago when there was balance, when there were the attempts. The 30 rushes a game. When Andre Brown came in there, you spread the Dallas defense out, and Andre Brown was just ripping runs between the tackle, getting past line of scrimmage, untouched. I mean, see those huge holes. I mean, he's almost high-kneeing and then getting some yards after contact. And Brandon Jacobs, again, 9 carries, 75 yards. This is a big one right here. Got him inside the towards the goal line. I mean, Brandon Jacobs is a guy, I mean, since that Chicago game, he's been down a little with injury-wise, but when healthy, that's a dangerous, dangerous backfield, that 1-2 punch.
All right, but there was some bad news, Roman, and ultimately why the Giants lost the game. Tony Romo was 6 of 9 on the final drive, including 3 third down conversion passes that really hurt this team.
Yeah, I think the number one goal for this defense, Paul, as we know, was to keep Romo to Witten connection out of the red zone. And unfortunately, I mean, that's what happened in the last drive. The defense only gave up 17 points to a Dallas offense that's capable of scoring a lot. But, again, that it came down that last drive when you had to get those yards. I talked about the mismatches with, you know, Antrell Rowe having to play that slot. The injuries in the secondary had to shuffle some guys around. And Dallas took advantage of that. So when they needed to move the ball, they did. When defenses needed to stop this Dallas offense, they did not.
Now, I want to ask you, how much does it concern you that Dallas was able to run for just over 100 yards in the game? I think DeMarco Murray had only 85 or so. But they averaged 5.5 yards a carry.
Yeah, exactly, Paul. That 5.5 yards per carry does a lot to the third downs. It does a lot to really second downs. One thing you saw Dallas getting a lot of first downs on second down. So they didn't have a lot of third down opportunities because first and second downs were so successful because of this running game. So it wasn't the running game that the Giants had on the other side of the ball. But in spurts, probably because of that pass rush, you kind of get past that pass rush. They were trying to sack the quarterback. Here comes DeMarco Murray, 5 yards, 4 yards, 8 yards of carry.
Roman, it's time to get a look at our Twitter question. It comes from Mother3K, who says, was that the best you've seen the pass rush this year? The Giants had 4 sacks and 5 quarterback hits.
Yeah, especially because of Colin Jenkins. You and I talked about this. He had 2 sacks from the defensive tackle position. And we know that when this pressure is coming from different places, you know, here comes the defensive tackle, here comes a linebacker, here comes Justin Tuck, you know, here comes a pocket collapsing. That includes everyone. So you had a couple of half sacks in there as well. So I think this was, especially against a game where they needed to get to the quarterback, this was a really complete game by the defensive line.
But nonetheless, more mistakes did the Giants in. They had the turnover on the Cruz fumble that resulted in the touchdown, plus 11 penalties. The third time this year, the Giants have been flagged at least 10 times in a game.
Yeah, and some of the uncharacteristic penalties are some of the things that I looked at, Paul. You know, the Kiwi push out of bounds, the Antoine roll hit out of bounds. Those are things that you wish you could have back. You're going to have physical penalties, but you don't want to have those type of penalties.
And then finally, a great bounce back game by Steve Weatherford had a net of over 50 yards. We'll take a quick timeout, and when we come back, we will examine what the Washington Redskins bring to the table. So stick around here on MSG. And welcome back to Giants Press Conference Live, presented by Hackensack University Medical Center. So the Giants are heading down to face the Washington Redskins on Sunday night in a primetime game. This is a team that just got whacked by the 49ers the other day and gave up 17 consecutive second-half points.
Yeah, I mean, you're looking at this Redskins team. I mean, they've given up, you know, anywhere north of 30 points a game on an average. And you've got leaders on that team. You've got Fletcher. You've got Arakpo. You've got, you know, D'Angelo Hall has been in the league a long time. But, you know, that 49ers game was probably as bad of a game as I've seen. And when we've seen an 0-6 start and compared to that 49ers game. But, again, they just were not on the same page. The 49ers, Colin Kaepernick, really rejuvenated themselves. And then defensively, I mean, the Redskins were getting RG3. There wasn't a lot of cohesion, you know, throwing interceptions. I mean, it was a pretty bad football game.
Well, you know, you talk about the two most important defensive stats, points per game allowed and yardage per game allowed, and the Redskins are right either at the bottom or near the bottom in mostly every defensive category.
Yeah, and you talked about this, Paul. I mean, they've given up, what, over 150 yards after contact? So they're not tackling well. They're not in the right place. I mean, London Fletcher, who I know well, is a great leader. But they're just not playing well. They're not really listening and buying into what Jim Haslett had, the position they had them in. That defense last year, the personnel is pretty much the same, but I think they've underachieved a little bit on the defensive side of the football.
All right, so why so many yardage after the contact or after the catch have they been given up, Roman? Is it they're too soft with their coverages or just bad tackling?
Well, they give the offensive players giving up too much separation, and when a guy catches a football, when you're catching it at full speed, you already got the separation, and now you got to run after this receiver or running back, what have you, and then it's poor tackling. So you're averaging over 145, 150 yards after contact per game. That means you're not doing a lot of things right on defense.
All right, I want to talk about RG3 for a second because everybody pretty much unanimously agrees that he's not the same player. 14 touchdown passes and 11 interceptions so far this year, but how about these running stats? 367 yards rushing, no touchdowns yet. Last year, 815 yards rushing and 7 touchdowns.
Well, Paul, there's been some deserving national criticism about RG3 and just his performance this season. Spent all year rehabbing, came back a little early, all that stuff. You know, he really stumbled poorly in the first part of the season, and then he started to improve, but he's never looked comfortable in the pocket. He's always backing up, throwing the football off his back leg. He doesn't look confident. He's just making poor decisions. And you go back to last year when they had that enormous run down the stretch. They're running the ball well. They're throwing high percentage passes, and they're really minimizing the mistakes. I mean, he went through a stretch without even throwing interceptions. So that's not the RG3 that the league or whoever was expecting to see this season.
And that's not really Pierre Garçon, the deep threat that they expected the Redskins to have either. When you peel back his stats for the season, you realize he's had only one catch of 40 or more yards this year, and in the last 4 years prior, he had 11. That's a big drop-off.
Well, he's got the catches because he's got 75 catches at this point in the season with still 5 games left. But only averaging 12.3 yards a catch means he's not getting the yards after the catch. He's not going downfield. He's really more of a safety valve. I mean, these are like Jason Witten numbers. You know, these are tight end numbers, 12.3 yards, a lot of catches, not a lot of yak. But, again, he's not having a great season for what you expect.
Now, tight end Jordan Reed has caught over 40 balls, but he's got a concussion, and it's real iffy about him being able to play.
Yeah, I mean, he only had one catch 2 weeks ago against the Eagles, and he was inactive last week. So even if he does play, he may or may not be as healthy enough to get it done.
And then finally, Alfred Morris. Boy, this guy's got over almost 1,000 yards rushing already this season. Sensational. Look at the 5 touchdown runs, 5 yards per carry. He's done it all for them.
Yeah, Alfred Morris, I mean, he's a prototypical Shanahan running back, you know,
yeah,
going all the way back to Terrell Davis. I mean, he zone runner between the tackles. He got good separation. I mean, he and that offensive line really run well together. I mean, what the Giants did on Sunday, I mean, you see Alfred Morris almost doing that every week. But he's a great zone runner. I mean, he is who he is. And I think for the Giants to be disciplined, lane integrity, they've got to tackle him at the line of scrimmage to prevent him from having a big day on Sunday.
Well, remember, Carolina's D'Angelo Williams, the last 100-yard back against the Giants in Week 3. Morris has 3 100-yard games this year. One other number, he hasn't reached the end zone in his last 3. For Roman Obin, I'm Paul Dottino. You've been watching Giants Press Conference Live.